technology design. This is Gary.
Hey, Gary. This is Sam from the Bank of Cardiff. How are you doing today?
Hi. All right.
Pretty good, pretty good. So, hey, we've got your app fully complete here. We're about to pull it in. The one thing I was going to ask you about is something came up here in 2011. There was the bankruptcy. I was just going to try to get some background here on you, just to kind of help with the underwriting. They're definitely still going to take the app. We're still going to definitely be able to process it. It's just if I could have some info on what exactly went down, I could convince them a little bit more.
What happened back then was one of our largest customers was a new customer that was actually recommended by our bank. Came to us with a contract that they would produce $30,000 a month in sales to us if we would provide a mold and the necessary machinery to provide their baskets. They were currently making them in China.
Okay.
And the bank said, oh, these guys are great, you know, go with it. And so the bank loaned us about $200,000, and we got the mold built, bought the machinery, and after 3 months of producing, they just canceled. They just quit buying from us, and so we were stuck with real heavy payments without a customer. Fairly quickly, we got another customer, which was about the same number of sales. But what happened was we were about 4 months late on our payments on our building. And we actually got the cash to catch up. We went to the bank with, $30,000 or $40,000 and says, we're ready to catch this up. And they says, no, you have to pay off the whole thing, which was about $650,000.
Oh.
And it was just no way I could pay off $650,000. And so that's what happened. The bank that recommended us go to that customer forced us into default. I don't know if there's something with banks, you may know more than me, that's easier to make money off foreclosures than to collect money, because I had it in hand. I had it in there in my checking account in their bank ready to write out my check, and they said, no, we're going a different direction. And so I was forced by the very bank that supposedly thought that was a good deal.
The ones that recommended
when it failed. The customer failed. The bank was actually the one that pushed me into bankruptcy, because the customer failed me, yes.
Yeah.
But I found another customer fairly quickly and was able to recover. But the bank foreclosed on me, forced me. You know, I couldn't do anything about it.
So the $650 they were asking for, that was for the building?
Yeah. At one time, I did own this building.
Okay.
And the bank foreclosed on me.
So yeah, they do make money off foreclosures. It's just a dirty way of doing business.
I don't know why they did that, because I could have caught them up and then I would have avoided bankruptcy. You know, they wouldn't have lost any money.
Sure, and they would have retained
that. It was just a frustrating situation for me.
I understand.
And then the bank ends up renting to me. This is what was frustrating. Then the bank ends up renting to me. Signs a lease to me, and then they sell the lease to the current owner. So they're not willing to take my monthly payments, but they're willing to take my rent payments, which really frustrated me.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying here. Okay. Based on this stuff, I mean, definitely looks like just a bad deal, like gone wrong. Definitely isn't recurring. We're looking at the bank statements here, and they look healthy. It's not that. The business is definitely going well. 3 months to find a new client is pretty quick. I definitely think they had more to gain from being able to retain a client and trying to work through it all, especially since they're the ones that recommended this company. Yeah. Okay, so I'll tell you what. I took some notes down here, just kind of a little bit of background on what happened. And that's what happened in 2011, is that correct?
Mm-hmm, that's okay. Correct.
And ever since then, how things have been going is kind of up from there.
Very good since then. Our average for the last 4 years, our average net profits have been about $120,000 a year.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good.
The bank could have just, you know, like I say, there was no reason for the bank to do that, really.
Yeah, they're really.
Why would they tank rent payments but not let me catch up and make mortgage payments, you know?
Yeah, so they sold the building to someone else, Is that what you said?
Yeah, they sold it to a guy named James Yates, who is a commercial broker. And I don't know if there's some politics involved in that situation. It just frustrates me to know that he picked up my building that I'd been making payments on for a song and a dance. And now he's going to make probably $250,000, $300,000 off me.
Because you're going to buy that building here in January.
I'm going to buying it back in January.
Right. And all those payments that you gave for the mortgage payments in the back, those are all gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a frustrating situation. I don't understand, you know, why banks do what they do. At the time, somebody told me that the federal government was borrowing money from the banks, and the banks would rather loan money to the federal government than to me.
Yeah.
The federal government is giving them money, you know, with all these big loans to the banks, and then they're borrowing it back because they don't have the money. So I don't know how the system works, but
bit of a dirty
the
cycle.
Federal government, I guess, was a better risk than me. And the banks are giving the money, and then the federal government has to borrow it back so they can give it to them.
See, the weird thing is here is we stress, like, customer-client relationships. It's the way we're supposed to go out of our way to retain clients here, like, bend the rules if we had to, just for that loyalty. The fact that they had you here after 3 months ready to go and continue there is just an easy way to kind of, I don't know, retain that loyalty. I don't get why they dropped the ball on that one here. Yeah.
Well, what was also kind of funny, you know, it's frustrating, is they were going to liquidate my equipment and, you know, everything.
Right.
And push me out of the building. Mm. And I said, you know what, you're going to get maybe 10 cents on the dollar for this equipment. I says, injection molding equipment isn't something you liquidate very easily. It's not like, you know, cordless drills or something where everybody's going to come and auction, you know, buy them at the auction.
Mm-hmm.
There's only six of companies like mine in the state of Utah that does customer work.
Right.
And the fact that somebody's going to come out of state and buy a machine that costs, you know, maybe $5,000 to move it.
Right.
What I did was I found an investor that was willing to buy my equipment for me and move me to, they had some commercial property in Orem.
Right.
And they were going to buy my equipment and move me to their facility in Orem. So the bank was going to be left with an empty building, and they were going to, you know, they wouldn't lose money on the equipment, but they were going to have an empty building.
Right.
And at the very last minute, the bank comes back to me and says, wouldn't you rather just stay here? And I was like, no kidding. You know, you're asking me this now after you forced me into bankruptcy?
Yeah, wow.
So the whole thing was just so bizarre. So then they signed a lease, talked me into staying in the building because it would cost me a lot to move this equipment.
Right.
And then what they do is they give me this interest-free loan, pretty much. What it is it's a default deficit.
Right.
So
right.
I'm making, you know, monthly payments on what I owed on the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is just bizarre.
Yeah.
So that money you see there to Capital Community Bank, that's going out to Capital Community Bank, it's like 52.5.
Right.
That's what's remaining of the $120,000 that I owed them. And we've paid it a year ahead in advance because the next payment is due in June of 2017, I think.
I got you.
So anyway, that's the bank's baby. They forced me they enticed me to do it, and then they said, shame on you, you shouldn't have gone with them.
Yeah, honestly, that just sounded like a mess there. Well, I promise you, we'll never do that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this on over there, just let them know what happened here. I think what might happen is, well, once we get this equipment finance offer sent your way after we've established a relationship and we finance the equipment, a few months down the line, if you're looking to consolidate some of these loans, it's an interest-free loan with the bank, but some of the other loans that you had outstanding here, what we might be able to do is get you a better rate and somehow consolidate it so you'd be able to pay those off and then end up with an account for us for a smaller rate. We'll have to run the numbers and make sure that it's beneficial for your business, okay. Of course. But right. That's some time down the line here.
I'm supposedly pre-approved for a loan to buy the building back now.
Right. Yeah, I saw that here in the notes. You're looking at around January, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. The seller did not want to sell until the new year to give them some time to figure out what to do for taxes.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's about an $800,000 building here. I saw that you put some repairs here, about $50,000 worth, to the roof
right.
and everything. Is he going to credit that right. back to the final price?
He's going to credit me back.
Okay.
I put on a new roof, new overhead doors, several new rooms.
Okay.
And plus they have a $5,000 deposit that they're holding. They'll credit that back, so...
Right.
And then we plan on coming up with, you know, whatever it takes. It's going to be at least another $30,000, cash to I think they wanted 10% down.
10% down, minus the 50 you put into the building.
Right. So I've got to come up with at least another $30,000. I'm sure I can come up with more. I mean, we're going into some of our best months right now.
Sure, sure. And if you ever need us to kind of rerun these numbers and stuff, we can definitely help you out, too. It's a kind of...
I don't know if you read the two options on that one form that I filled out. If you want to just finance just this one machine, I put 10% down.
Okay.
If you want to just loan the 90% of the 28.5, that's fine. If you want to consolidate all of the equipment loans into one loan, we were interested in doing that. We just want to make sure we have whatever cash it takes to close on the mortgage and get our building back.
Of course, right? Because at this point, that rent is just kind of flushed every year here. How much are they charging per month?
It's $5,000 right now a month.
Okay.
And with the mortgage, my payment will be approximately the same, but the difference will be two things. One, I'll be paying principal of about $1,100 a month.
Okay.
Three things. Two, I'll get a tax break on the depreciation on the building.
True.
And three, they're doing an automatic inflation increase of 3% every year, which I will not have to the mortgage is what
right.
it is for, what is it, 10 usually, at least 10 years.
Sure, once you lock that
fixed.
In. And at least at the end of the day, you're going to own this building.
Right, right. So that's the main thing we want to do. And the other thing is we still have some things we would like to do to the building to fix it up.
Sure.
And I hate to put any more money into their building.
I hear you on that one. At least yours.
I put a brand new roof on a 10,000 square foot building. They don't even say thank you, you know. But
yeah.
I couldn't help it because it's dripping water all over my materials.
Yeah,
and my machines.
And to be honest,
I had signed a triple net lease, which means I'm responsible for the building. So what can I do?
Of course. Well, to be honest, that should have been your building from the start here, but I don't know what happened with that bank. What bank were you working with when all this happened?
It was Capital Community Bank. That's the one that has that one loan, the 52.5.
I saw that. Okay.
So that loan, is what's left on the equipment that I bought from it. It started at $120,000
okay.
4 years ago. And
140, you said?
I started at 120. That loan started at 120,000. Down to 52.5.
Okay, is that the interest?
We're paying about $2,500 a month, and then there'll be a balloon of about $25,000.
I got you. And the interest-free loan, what was that for again? The one the bank.
That's the same thing there. That's the Capital Community Bank.
Gotcha.
What they did is that, you know, it's I guess. I don't know why they did it. If they're basically just having me pay what they would have lost on that equipment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It looks like
I'm just trying
to get back. Mm-hmm.
They're saying, all right. Because when they give me the balance each time,
yep.
I was actually surprised after I started getting balances from them.
Right.
There's no interest taken out. It's just every time I make a payment, they deduct $2,500 from the balance. So.
Sure.
I figure they're just wanting their money back and happy to get. Because, like I say, if we'd have sold them at auction, this equipment auction, they probably would have got maybe $20,000 or less for the whole batch.
Yeah.
We would have been... See, I was ready to go. I was telling my investor, let's just wait and go to the auction and buy it. It's going to be cheaper than buying it from the bank.
Go buy your own auction.
For a lot less money, I was kind of paying back for their stupidness. But then the bank, I think, figured out what they was doing. They just came and said, all right, we'll give you, you know, this special loan.
Right. A special loan to minimize our loss here. Yeah, it looks like the program they put you in afterwards is it's the bankruptcy, kind of minimize the damage thing. I think, like you said, they probably figured selling it at an auction would give them pennies to the dollar. So.
Right.
Right. So even though it was a good thing, they didn't really do it out of... Yeah.
No, they weren't doing it for me. They were doing it for them because, like, say, we would have, my investor and I were ready just to wait for the auction and, you know, show up and buy it because we would have been one of a handful of people there. If anybody else would have come, it wouldn't have been many because this equipment just doesn't move that fast.
Sure. I mean, it's specialized equipment for a specific industry. Like you said, in Utah, there'd be only a handful of those who'd be interested. Yeah. Okay.
And it costs a ton to move it. I mean, this stuff's 33,000 pounds each, you know. Who's going to come and buy it and move it to another state, you know, when it costs, you know, so much to move it?
Sure, that transportation cost would just offset the whole thing. Well, yeah, I see what happened there.
So do you have everything else you need then?
Yeah, honestly, we do. I just got the last July statement from you here in the mail. I'm just going to put everything together and go down there. I wanted to take these notes down on what happened in 2011 just so I could go over there and let them know how it's going. The business it looks healthy. There's no big red flags coming up anywhere here.
No, we're actually going into, in fact, we're about double this year what we were last year.
Yeah.
This year we expect to have a net income of probably 80% higher than last year.
Okay.
And some of our customers have opened new markets into Canada, and one of our customers has doubled their sales, which is substantial because they were one of our largest customers in the first place. And then I don't know if you've looked at our website. You might want to look at it.
Yeah.
Have you?
I have. I've been digging around in there, checking it out. Yeah.
And so anyway, that website actually draws a pretty good following. We get, I'm sending out quotes and pulling in some new customers at a pretty quick rate. So
okay,
that
good.
Website has helped us a lot.
Yeah, digging around on the website, I noticed it's kind of like it's a little bit of a monopoly thing. Once you've got their molds and their injection stuff going, it looks like they'll be coming back to you. It's like a recurring revenue model. It's not
exactly.
Exactly.
They just keep paying. I have some customers who've had their molds for 12, 13 years, and they order every week, same customer over and over and over.
Exactly. That's how that industry works.
So I do get new customers, but for the most part, it's repeat customers.
Sure.
And then eventually there are some products that will phase out. They have every product has a life cycle.
Of course.
And so it does trickle in and out, and some people might eventually go to China or India.
Sure.
But the customers that come to me on my website come to me because they want their products made in America, and so they don't have that tendency to rush to China.
Sure.
They're here because they want made in the USA put on their product.
Of course, and that's getting more and more important today. That's also working in your favor here. Those businesses are being more aware of that. Okay, well, this is...
If you have anything else, let me know.
Yeah, I will. This is all some good stuff here. I figured it must have been just an anomaly event because the business itself does look healthy and there was no problems there, so this won't be too hard. I'm going to go down there and just right now see if I could get them sorted out. We should have an answer for you here by today or tomorrow, so I'll be in touch.
All right. Appreciate your help.
All right. Appreciate the time, Gary. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.